Today, I'm going to ask you to turn with me first to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, fifth book of the Bible. Amen. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Amen. I remember when I first started reading the Bible. Amen. The book that gave me the toughest time, and it's still a tough read, but I praise God that He makes it easier by His Spirit, was Leviticus.
Oh, God.
My God.
Yes.
That was some tough sledding. And I remember when I had purpose to read through the Bible for the first time. I had purpose to read through the Bible in a year. And I was reading Leviticus, and I got through a couple of chapters. I was in Virginia at the time, and I was taking the bus to work. And I remember being on the bus, and I'm saying, that's it, I'm done. And I just felt God just saying, no. You said you're going to read the whole Bible. This is only the third book. And you ready to throw in the towel. And so I just kept reading, amen. And I was reading and did not understand what I was reading. But God is faithful, amen, that even if you push through and you persevere, He'll reward you in due time, amen. And so I praise God. I actually like the book of Leviticus now because I have a better understanding of how it fits into everything. But at the time, my goodness, that was a tough read, amen. Leviticus. Woo! And we're not in Leviticus today, so somebody can be happy. And then we're in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 4 through 9. Let's look at that together. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray right now. Father, we bless you.
Yes, Father.
And we thank you, God, for your word. Father, we need a word from the Lord on today.
Yes.
And so, Father God, it is our prayer that you will speak into our hearts and into our lives. And Father, we thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.
Yes.
And Father, we give you the praise and the thanks for speaking unto us the words of life that we need at this particular hour. Father, I humble myself under your hand.
Yes.
I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for the marvelous things you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we praise God today. Amen. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We just read through verses 4 through 9. Amen. Our title today is called The Great Disconnect.
Hmm.
Amen. The Great Disconnect. Amen. And quite frankly, it comes down to this. We hear the term disconnect in the business world and sometimes in just our personal interactions with one another, where we say there is a disconnect, right? And what we mean by that is somewhere along the line, I communicated something to you, or maybe you communicated something to me, or we communicated something to each other, and we did not receive the other person's meaning.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. I heard what you said, but there was a disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
There was something that didn't translate, didn't compute, didn't get through to me, or didn't get through to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we hear that term often, right? We have a disconnect. It's one of those phrases that I think comes out of the office or corporate world that I'm not sure if I appreciate like or not, amen, but it is what it is.
Amen.
And we hear that term disconnect. Today, though, God is talking about the great disconnect, and that's not what he's talking about unto us. And so we don't want to get it confused, right?
Mm-hmm.
But God is talking to us about the great disconnect, and really when he says that, God is saying unto us, it's time for us to start a movement. To start a movement. You know, I listen from time to time to Joe Madison on Sirius XM, for those of you who are interested. Urban View, channel 126. But if he's you're not a morning person, you can't listen to him because he comes on at 6 o'clock in the morning. So, you morning people, you can't listen to him. But he's a civil rights activist, and, you know, he's tough. Joe Madison is tough. But one of the things he likes to say is that there's a difference between a moment and a movement. Because sometimes, he said, people get caught up in the moment. Something happens in a moment, and they want to, you know, they think that they're doing something. You know, they protested once, and they think they're in a movement. He said, no, that's a moment. He said, there's a difference between a moment and a movement. He says, a movement requires sacrifice.
Yes.
And if you're going to sacrifice, you're going to have to be committed to the thing. And so God is talking to us today about the great disconnect, and he's talking about starting a movement which will take some sacrifice and some commitment on our part. And here is the great disconnect, the movement that God wants us to be a part of starting today. And the great disconnect is this. To get to the point where we control and manage our electronic devices. Instead of letting them manage and control us. God is saying it's time for his people to disconnect. Because you're too attached to your laptop, your desktop, your smartphone, your dumb phone. You may got one of those. Amen. Your multimedia player, your DVD, your Blu-ray player, your headphones, your Bluetooth, your earphones. You're too connected, and God says it's time for his people to start a movement, and it's called the Great Disconnect.
Lord help us, please.
Lord help us is right, because we live at a time where we are tethered to our devices.
Yep.
We are connected to them. They don't leave our side, amen? We wake up with them. And we go out throughout our day. But watch this. We just read scripture right here, where it says that God is a great God. Our God is one God here, O Israel. The Lord our God is one. We should love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might. And then he said, in these words I command thee this day shall be in your heart. And then he said this, teach them to your children. He said, teach your children diligently. And when do you teach them? Watch this. While sitting in the house. While walking along the way, before you lie down, I mean before you go to bed, when you rise up, that means upon waking, he said, bind his words on your hands so you can see them, amen? Put them as frontlets between your eyes. Write them on the doorpost. In other words, he said, my word, he said, should be a part of you, but here's the thing, I want you to teach it to your family. I want you to teach it to your children. Take the time to teach and to talk and to teach.
Wow.
But how many of you know, if that was going to happen, that would mean that people would have to talk to one another. And I know this is Old Testament, but how many of you know that God wants us to share him with other people? And I get it that we can share electronically. I get it. But I hear God saying, but that is not what I said. I want you talking to people about me.
Wow.
Do you know that when God declared his love to the whole world, do you know that he did it in person?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
Jesus came. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word became flesh.
Yes.
And did what?
Dwelt among us.
God didn't send a text message.
Amen.
And don't tell me the technology didn't exist then, because all the technology comes from God. So God could have sent a text message way back then. God could have uploaded a video in the sky. Right?
Yes.
God could have done all those things, but instead, God communicated how? In person. Mm. And through the person of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. There's the power in personal communication that's not the same as we have in electronic communication.
That's true.
Communicating orally, as we see here, God was saying, talk to your children, teach them. That means mother, teach your child. Father, teach your child, right? Children, listen to what your parents are saying. Ask questions. Answer questions of your children. Mom and dad, sit together and decide what you're going to teach the children today. That required communication throughout the family unit,
yes,
back and forth.
Yes.
If that was going to happen.
Yes.
And the communication was oral, talking to one another. Talking to one another is becoming a lost art.
Wow.
Because of technology. And technology is not bad, but it depends on how we're using it. Mm-hmm. And God is saying that we need to be part of a movement that doesn't buy into what this world is telling us, that we always have to be connected. The devil is a liar. We are part, starting today, of the great disconnect.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody's scared to say it. Well, you gonna do it? I gotta give up my phone. Keep listening. Keep listening. But really though, the oral tradition, there's such a thing as oral tradition, right?
Yeah.
Where it was common in times past when important information, family information, historical information, information about God, information about our ancestors, information about our family, our culture, our history, was passed down orally.
Yeah.
People talked to one another. They told stories. They wrote poems. They sang songs. They you know what I mean? It was all oral. That's part of oral tradition. And don't you know there are some cultures that still communicate through oral tradition?
Yes.
Right? They don't buy into this thing of getting to the point where now we're not talking about what grandpa did or what great grandpa did, but it was told. Do you know right now there are some things that your children can benefit from you telling them about your upbringing? Mm-hmm. Things that you just think they know or you just think is a part of you or whatever, but they could benefit from you telling them some stuff.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, I wondered why my mom and dad, they were mom and dad, so yeah, I loved them, but I'm like, I don't really know you guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, what happened when you were a kid? But I found out later, but when I was a kid, it was like, they were mom and dad, but do you know that there are things that your kids can benefit from? Now, you got to tell them at the appropriate time. Don't be dumping some stuff on your kid. They're only 3 years old. You tell them some of the trauma you went through, and they looking up at you like they can't process that thing. Now, use wisdom.
Yes.
But there's a benefit of families, talking about their ancestors and their parents and grandparents and so on, so that the generations now that are coming up can know what they're a part of. And that was something that was standard, amen? People communicated and passed down traditions orally. Do you know that's how the Bible, amen? Because it wasn't this, everybody didn't have a Bible.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. The things about God was passed along orally, right? Teach your children about me, right? Talk about me. Talk about my word. That's a situation where people and the elders of the family become like living libraries. They're the information. They're the encyclopedia. They're the Google. Amen?
Amen.
They're the ones you go to and search for answers from. But my things have changed. And again, not necessarily for the worse, but if we're not careful, we can find ourselves buying into how this world does things, and next thing you know, we're looking up at consequences that we're not happy with. And quite frankly, they're in our midst right now, right? So we have the means through technology, right, to communicate like never before, right? We can talk to more people now by never before because of our of the technology, right? You can talk to people far away across the country, half across the world. You can talk to people right now, right, by typing up something and hitting send. Mm-hmm. So it's a great thing, but yet it seems as if we're speaking to each other less and less.
Yes.
Now, I looked at a number of reports about how we're communicating these days, and I'm going to share some of that information with you as we go along. And I'm going to start with a 2016 report by the Nielsen Company. I want you to listen to this. They said in 2016 that we spend on average 10 hours and 39 minutes each day consuming media.
Wow.
That means on your tablet, your smartphone, your personal computer, video games, radio, TV, DVR, DVD.
Wow.
Listening to radio, watching television, sending emails, sending text messages, surfing the internet.
Mm-hmm.
10 hours and 39 minutes.
Wow.
Now, another study said that 81% of adults in the United States have smartphones. 73% of teenagers have smartphones. And 94% of us have HD TVs and on average watch that TV 4.5 hours a day.
Wow.
Now, here's the thing that really blows my mind. On average, we spend over 50 hours a week on our electronic devices.
Oh my gosh.
Now, 50 hours don't seem like that much, but understand, there's only 168 hours in a week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if we're conservative and say you work 40 hours, and if you sleep, if you get your 7 hours worth of sleep every night, that's another 49 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then for personal care, like eating and bathing and cooking and all those things, 3 hours a day, that's 21 hours. It leaves only 58 hours remaining. And over 50 of them are spent
on
devices. Over 50.
Mm-hmm.
And those are hours that you know, those 58 hours we need for what? Hobbies or sports or exercise or children or friends or spouses or reading or learning or coming to church or volunteering or doing housework. And 50 of those 58.
Oh, my goodness.
Are used on devices. And that's exactly why we feel we don't have enough time to do the things that we need to do.
That's true.
That's it.
Yeah.
Listen, it's math.
Oh my gosh.
There's only a certain amount of time in a day, in a week, in a month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Disconnect, amen. But you know, we spend over 50 hours emailing, texting, messaging, uploading, downloading, surfing, watching.
Lord, help us, please.
And then we say, I don't have enough time. I didn't have time to get to it yet. Yeah, because you do 50 or 58. Send us smiley faces. Or, you know, the emojis.
Yeah.
Thumbs up, strong, and again, technology is not bad, amen. Technology can be very, very helpful. So it's neutral. It's just like money. Money's not bad. It's the love of money that's the problem, right?
Yeah.
Technology is not bad, but it's the use of the technology.
Yeah.
How are we using the technology?
Mm-hmm.
Now, but technology can have some bad effects. One of the things is that it says that technology or the overuse of technology leads to sedentary behavior. In other words, you sit down too much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it lowers the levels of fitness. There are more children now in the United States that are obese more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is because they spend a lot of time sitting down in front of their phone or their video games that are outside actually playing the game. They play more baseball and basketball on the computer than they do in the park.
That's true. That's true.
And so they're not as fit.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you listen, if I didn't have anything to do in the house, and I'm going to have, I don't have anything to do, no one more needs to tell me this, go outside.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's it, go outside.
Uh-huh. Mom didn't want to hear that. I don't have anything to do. Go outside.
Uh-huh.
Right? Go run. Go ride your bike. Go play hide and seek. Go.
exactly.
I mean, that's why we played games. Mm-hmm. Remember you were a kid? You played hide and seek.
Mm-hmm.
You played red light, green light, one, two, three.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Red light, green light, one, two, three. And you wanted to catch somebody moving.
Uh-huh.
You were always moving.
Mm-hmm.
You played stickball. You played wiffle ball. You played baseball. You played kickball. You played punch ball. You know, you played double dutch. Yeah, double dutch. Right? You jumped rope.
Yeah.
You were active. But young people nowadays, and not so young people nowadays, we're living more and more sedentary lives. We're sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
I have this watch right that on right now, where if I sit down for more than an hour, it'll buzz. It says, "Up, you've been sitting down too much. It's time for you to get up." Praise God for that, amen.
Yeah.
Why? Because a lot of us will keep working throughout the day and not realizing we're spending more and more time sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
And then developing all kinds of things. Now, our fitness level is lower because we sit too much.
Yeah.
Too much technology also lowers our ability to process nonverbal cues.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Amen. There's such a thing as body language. Right? That if you're always communicating electronically, you don't pick up on people's body language. Right? You know, people sometimes look at you, man. There are times when, you know, somebody just look at you, you knew. They cocked their head a little bit like that. You knew that meant something. Why? Because you would read body language. But how can you read body language if you're not paying attention to the person in front of you?
Exactly.
If the person you're talking to most of the time is on the other end of your device. There's no body language to read.
Wow.
Right? So we become less adept at reading body language. And this is important for young people who never had the experience of reading body language. For those of you who are in your 40s or 50s or whatever, hopefully, but you know, you lived before the technological boom.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you were reading body language at one point, but how many of you know? You might even be getting a little rusty.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, this one's going to get me in trouble. But I read it, and part of the study, it said that too much technology interferes with sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is what they say. They said that blue light on the screen interferes with the body's production of a hormone that God put in your body and in my body. There's a hormone in our body called melatonin.
Mm-hmm.
And that hormone is called the darkness hormone. Because when it's released, it triggers to our body that it's time to go to sleep. But the blue light interferes with the production and the operation of that hormone. So now your body doesn't get the signal that even though it's 11:30, midnight, 1:30, that it's time for you to go to sleep. And so you stay up late, and you're wondering why you can't. I can't sleep. What were you doing? You were on your stuff, and you don't realize. And this is something that has nothing. Your body is operating the way God intended it to, but you're interfering with it.
Wow.
And you think it doesn't matter, and then tell God that that hormone don't matter. No, that hormone matters. And the blue light interferes with it. And so now your body doesn't realize it's time to go to sleep.
Wow.
They also say too much technology leads to, makes impulse control harder. What do you mean impulse control? Watch this.
Uh-oh.
If you surf the internet a lot or you're on the internet, you may buy stuff more than you would otherwise. Why? Because it's easy. Ooh! Right? You don't gotta go to the store. You can just buy it right then. Impulse. Amazon Prime is here tomorrow. It will be on my doorstep tomorrow.
Oh Lord, help me, please.
But why is this? Not just impulse buying, it's also impulse eating. You will see something, ooh, that looks good.
Mm.
Something creamy and cheesy and got all these bacon bits on it. And you, that recipe is on the table tonight.
Oh, no.
what about this impulse? The impulse to tell somebody off.
Yeah.
If you want to that too much, oh, it's easy to blast somebody. What? Speaking all caps, I did not. Impulses, right? Why? Because it's so easy.
Oh, no.
It's easy. And so, listen, when you have this shop before you, I don't feel like going up to the store. Oh, it's raining. Oh, I got to wait till the end of the week. Oh, I actually got to wait till I have some money. Now, no. Because your credit card's already in. Google already saved your number. They said also technology can make you depressed, especially TV watching.
Wow.
Because TV watching is sometimes can be a solo activity. You watch a TV by yourself. Or it could be one of those things where you see unrealistic portrayals of life and you match it up against your own life and you feel depressed.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a happy marriage. Mm. They got good kids. They got good parents. That's a nice house. They got new cars. They got good jobs. They got nice hair. They're slim. You know what I'm saying? And you look and you go, none of that is me. And you can start to feel depressed. And forget the violent and scary stuff that you can see on television. And yet here we are. I see, what's it, Mark Wahlberg? He's telling that lie on TV. It's a better new commercial. Talking about the best room in the house is a TV room. We want TVs in every room. You see that commercial? Mm-hmm. And they even have room in the pantry, in the kitchen, there's TV. He said, we want TV everywhere. And then he said, and then we want to take TV with us. And he's walking down the street with cartoon characters and all that. You see that commercial?
Yeah.
The devil is a lie. I don't need TV over and over. He got, can I die now? No, you got to do it again. It's on. But he said the commercial is like not uninterrupted or something, like you can just keep watching, keep watching, keep watching. Mm. Come on, the best room in the house is the room that got the TV in it. You see what they're selling us?
Yes.
You see what they're selling us? And telling us, take it with you. TV everywhere. God is saying it's time for the great disconnect. Amen. And the last thing I want to talk about in terms of technology and the potential negative effects is this. Watch this. And this is important. Multitasking. Mm-hmm. Now, some people are like, this is the world where we're supposed to multitask. But here's the problem with multitasking. Multitasking, studies have shown, can have a negative effect. Mm-hmm. Because it can interfere with our ability to focus, number one. Right? Because if you're splitting your time between two or three different things, you can't be giving your undivided attention to any one of them.
Exactly.
So you're not as focused as you could. But here's the other thing. It says that multitasking can actually interfere with our ability to remember because our brains are overstimulated. So when you got too many things going on, I'm forgetful. No, you're not forgetful. Maybe you're multitasking too much, trying to do too many things. Got your eye on your email or on your personal device. You get the text message over here, right? Your tablet is over here, right? While your Blu-ray player is playing your favorite movie. And you're trying to be with all of this, and you say, I forgot. Your memory is fine. Your brain is overstimulated.
Yes.
But God's desire is that we spend time communicating with one another. That we see here and there. Talk to your children about me. Talk to your parents about me. Talk about my word. Talk about how I want you to live with one another. God is a God of relationships, and He wants us to have strong relationships with the people He put in our lives. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, right? Wives, be a helpmeet to your husband. Children, honor your mother and your father. Parents, right? Teach them and then nurture the admonition of the Lord. Employees, right? Put in a good day's work. Employers, don't mistreat your, right? God is all about how we interact with one another. But He wants us to be more focused on in doing it in person. And I believe this too. The more we send words electronically and the less we speak words orally, we become weaker people. Why? Why did I say that? Because here's the thing. Let's never forget that God
God believes in the spoken word. And God said, let there be light.
Exactly.
Amen. God speaks out things. And so we have to make sure that we become and stay adept at speaking words.
Wow.
This could be for another time, but could technology be hindering the power of the body of Christ? Because if the power of God is released through words that are spoken, is our over-reliance on words that are sent and typed? Is that somehow interfering with our ability? Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth.
Wow.
Exactly.
Wow.
Jesus said, peace be still. Mm-hmm. He didn't text it. He didn't type it. Mm-hmm. He didn't upload it. He said it out his mouth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can I give you some more research? This is good stuff right here. Because it's going to help us to get part of the movement. Pew Research Center did a number of studies, and there's some other studies mixed in here, but we're just going to give you the results of these studies, right? Watch this. 25% of married couples who text have texted their partner when they were both home at the same time.
That's terrible.
There was a woman who she said they had just had Chinese food. And her husband was upstairs getting the kids a bath. And she texted him and said, do you want the leftovers?
Wow.
And he texted back, yes.
Wow.
Come on, somebody.
Oh my
God. In the same house.
Mm.
You ever see that commercial with the fat kid at home?
Yeah.
And he called. And the grandma's like with a walker, and she's going down the hall, and he's on the phone, and the phone's just ringing, and she walks right past his bedroom to go answer the phone with the walker. Right? And then when she picks up the phone, hello? He says, can you give me another soda?
Wow. Wow.
Oh my gosh.
25% of married couples feel that their spouse is distracted by their cell phone when they're together.
Wow.
Watch this. 54% of children reportedly said that their parents check their devices too often.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yes.
54% of children. 32% of children reported feeling unimportant when their parents are distracted by phone. The kid feels unimportant.
Yes.
Because their parent is distracted by the phone. 89% of adults have said that in their last social encounter, they used their phone to reach another person. So I'm talking with you, I'm with you, but I'm actually in our encounter, I use my phone to contact somebody. And 82% of those people said that it deteriorated the communication with the person in front of them.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
One report said that teens use their cell phones more than they talk to their parents and do their homework combined.
True.
80% of Americans said that they think it's okay to walk down the sidewalk with their eyes on their phone. All you got to do is go to New York City or any major city,
yeah,
and you see it. Then I can't tell you how many times I have to say to somebody, look up! But they're walking right toward me because they're so busy doing this.
Yeah.
And I will say to them, look up!
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, I'm just telling the truth. I don't move. And if they don't look up, I just keep walking and saying, oh, excuse me. And I was ready for the impact because I saw it coming.
Yeah.
Lord, forgive me. I'm just telling the truth. You need to pay attention. Watch where you're walking. Or you don't want to walk. Take some. Maybe next time you keep using one eye. One.
Oh,
I'm just saying. Over 50% of young people reported that they think it's okay to post, tweet, surf, or text in front of other people.
Wow.
And here's what it all boils down to. The researchers have concluded, right, that as technology dependency increases, relationship satisfaction decreases.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. Right? And you think about it this way, and this has long been known, that in marriages or in relationships between men and women, women find intimacy in conversation.
Yes.
And so now think about how phone and device usage affects that. Uh-huh. If the man's face is always down on his phone, or he's always got to send a text, or he's always got to upload, or he's always got to surf, and he's spending that time, and his wife or his partner is right there, but there's no conversation, then you wonder why there's a lack of that sense of intimacy if that's what the woman needs. Men, it's been known for a long time, right? They are stimulated visually, right? So seeing a smile, looking someone in the eye, right? Well, how can they do that if their wife's face is always down looking at the screen? And so now you have dissatisfaction on both sides because neither one gets what is most important to them in terms of intimacy in the relationship. The woman's not getting any conversation because hubby is on the phone and texting and emailing and instant messaging and doing all that. And hubby's not getting that visual stimulation because he can't even see his wife's face. And then people wake up and they say, we just don't connect anymore. That's because you need to disconnect.
Wow.
You need to disconnect from those devices so that you can spend time with the person in front of you.
Wow.
I read, and this one really got to me, it said that simply having a phone nearby while discussing an important topic lowers relationship satisfaction.
Wow.
And how many of you have done this? You go into a restaurant and you took out your phone and you put it on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes, like I put mine, and I'm polite. I at least turn mine over. But how many of you know? They said studies show that doesn't even matter. Mm-hmm. That the fact that the phone is nearby sends a bad signal to the other person. Right? Why? Because that device right there, which is connected to somebody who's not there,
mm-hmm.
signals to them that there's some competition in the room.
Yeah.
I remember about 3 or 4 years ago, I was in a restaurant, and I was leaving, and a husband and wife, I thought they were husband and wife, because they were middle-aged, so they looked like they were husband and wife, they came, and they sat down, and they ordered something, and then both of them whipped out a tablet, both of them, and put it on the... And I looked at them like, you're the only two at the table, and you guys are going to be looking at your tablets instead of having a conversation.
Wow.
How many family members and families get together and sit around a table and have their devices handy? We got to disconnect, y'all.
Wow.
Amen?
Uh-oh.
Y'all know. I joke, Patricia, you've been in my house, I joked on you too, because I walk in the room, and they're all watching a movie.
All together.
My wife, Patricia, be up there, she's been there sometimes, Brandy, Jasmine, they're all watching a movie, and while they're watching, somebody got a laptop, somebody got a phone, somebody got a tablet, and none of them are watching, their heads are all down. And then what happened? Why do you know what happened? You're not watching the movie. So here we are watching the movie, but everybody got their tablet in front of them, their device in front of them. It's time to disconnect.
Jesus, help us.
Last Saturday, it rained in the morning, it was kind of cloudy, and it was cold and everything else, and I came home And went out in the morning. I came home and I bought some stuff and I was gonna cook. And I told Susanna, she said, "What are you gonna do today?" I said, "I'm gonna cook. I'm gonna cook some dinner. I knew I was gonna make like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm gonna cook." I said, and I'm going to find some movies for you and I to watch. She said, "Oh, okay." And the rest of that day, we watched a movie, didn't we?
Yep.
The whole day. No phones, no tablet, no laptop. And let me tell you something. Some of the movies were good and some of them were bad. But it didn't matter. Because we went, because even if we were bad, we go, "Okay, that's enough of that one." And we just looked to find something else. But it made a difference. Why? Because at least we truly were watching together. And a lot of times we claim we're doing stuff together, but we are connected to people who aren't even present.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And who is suffering when you are communicating and connected to people who aren't present? I tell you, who are the people who are present with you.
Wow.
Because the message that is being sent to them is that you are not as important as the other people I'm communicating with. Yes, I'm here with you, but I'm sending a text. Yes, I'm here with you, but I gotta see if somebody liked my post. Yes, I'm here with you. And we wonder why our relationships are going to pop. We are sending messages to the people in our lives that folk who are out there are more important. And you say, "No, I'm not saying that." But that's the unintended consequence. Tell that to those 54% of the children who said they thought their parents were on the device too much, or the 32% who said they felt unimportant. Tell them, "That's not what I mean." It may not, but that's how they take it. Tell that to the wife who needs the conversation, but the husband says 2 words to her, but sends out 10,000 words over the internet.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Tell her, because she still needs that conversation. She still needs.
Yeah.
And why are we so connected to our devices? Again, remember how we just said about that, the hormones that our body produces that the blue light can interfere with? Mm-hmm. Do you understand that there's a chemical reaction, a chemical explanation as to why we're so connected to our phones? Mm-hmm. Because there is in us a neurotransmitter called dopamine, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And dopamine is stimulated by unexpected rewards, mm-hmm. right? So if something happens unexpectedly, we get excited about it. Dopamine is triggered and it's transmitted in our brain and we get excited about it. I'm telling you now, Las Vegas, you know why Las Vegas, Atlantic City got all that sound? Ding, 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 blah, 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 blah. The money comes down and even when the thing is just spinning, it's making noise. You know why? Because it's trying to create in you an unexpected reward. And so that's how you get all happy, because you're expecting it to win. You're expecting some coins to come down. How come the machine makes all that noise and only 3/4 come down?
That's true.
It's trying to mess with you, amen. It's trying to get you excited. Because once you're excited about it, that dopamine then wants to go back and get that reward again.
Wow.
That's why that the last time you pulled the arm and 5/4 came down, but you now put in 35/4 since the last 5 came down, but you have that you still have that expectation that you're gonna get rewarded again. So I ain't got no more money. But it took a while.
Wow.
You said, "Well, what does that mean for my cell phone?" Glad you asked. What's the thing that your cell phone has that you can manage and you can even change it and you can know whether it's an email or a text? You can know whether it's a phone call from this one or from that one. What do all phones have that allow you to have that unexpected rush of a reward coming? Notification. Ooh, that's text. I wonder who that is. Ooh.
That was my Twitter feed. I wonder what happened.
Oh, no.
Come on, somebody. This world is doing things unto us that we don't even realize. And that's why you got the rush. And so that's why when your phone goes off, you want to look at it. Wow. You want to see who it is.
Wow.
Who's sending me a text now? Who liked my post?
Wow.
I never played the game, but see, some of us, right? I just cleared another line of Candy Crush. It makes us feel good.
Yep.
The notification makes us feel good. We got another like. It makes us feel good. And know what it does? We want to go right back to
it.
It validates us. It encourages us. Somebody likes us, and we want more of that feeling.
Wow.
And so when that feeling is tied to our notifications, then every time we hear it, do you know the studies have said that just the buzz or the ping of a phone can get people getting that dopamine rush, that they feel good because my phone just went off. So what do we have to do? Amen. Just understand, amen, that God wants us connected to each other. I'm going to read something to you as we're closing here. I'm going to ask you to turn with me because you need to see this. We're going to disconnect. Does that mean you're going to throw your phone in the river? No. Amen. No one's suggesting you do that. But what God is saying to us is control and manage your devices, and don't let your devices control and manage you.
Amen.
True.
Amen. Control and manage your devices, and don't let your devices control and manage you. 1 John chapter 1. Let's look at that. We're going to close. 1 John chapter 1. Written by John, right? The disciple whom Jesus loved. Right? 1 John chapter 1. We're going to read 1 through 4. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. I read that, amen, because it's revealing unto us how John describes their interactions with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He says, that which we have heard. Why? Because we were in his presence. We didn't hear about him. We heard him. We heard him speaking unto us, and we spoke to him. Which we have seen with our eyes. Why? Because he was with us. Right? That we looked upon. We looked at him. He looked at us. And watch this. And our hands have handled. That means we touched him and he touched us.
Mm-hmm.
I laid on his breast. He patted me on the back. He shook my hand. He gave me a hug. In other words, there was this, right, this real personal communication and between them. All of them, not just John, but all the apostles. He said, this is how we dealt with Jesus. And this is how God wants us to deal with one another.
Yeah.
Jesus is our example. But listen, if God put people in your life, amen, don't be sending them text messages when they're upstairs.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. But we do things like that. Leave notes on the refrigerator. Talk to them.
Mm.
Take the time. You got a phone. Oh, what about this? Call them. How about that? Call him.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
You send a text message to somebody at 2 o'clock in the morning. Why are you doing that? Because you know they're not going to respond. You're betting on the, right? They're not going to be up. Back in the day before, when somebody used to say, I'm going to be out of the office between 12 and 1. That's when you call them so you can leave a message. No! Right? Interact with people.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Touch them. Look at them. Let them look upon you. Yeah. Hear them. Let them hear you. Right? No one's saying don't communicate, because obviously, right, the technology allows you to communicate with family members who can't be there. That's a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great thing. Right? Even from a work perspective, there's some benefit from productivity. I get it. It's a good thing. But if you take it too far,
it could
negatively affect the relationships right in front of you. Your children, your spouse, your friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who are right in front of you, right? So what should we do? We should do two things. One, let's ask ourselves some questions, right? Well, maybe it's three things. Let's ask ourselves some questions. Do I pay more attention to people who are not present than I do to people who are? Mm-hmm. Does that answer the question?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Next time you're with your wife and you're driving down the road, are you talking more to her or are you checking out the game and the school and the video and the...
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
And don't ask her because she may let you know. Right? But ask yourself a question. Right? Does the phone or device inhibit or enhance my personal relationship? How often am I looking at a screen instead of the person that I'm with?
Mm-hmm.
Just ask yourself the question. These are just some inventory things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what message could I be sending inadvertently? You may not mean it. I'm sure you don't. But could you yet be sending that message that that person is unimportant? That child is unimportant?
Wow.
Huh?
Wow.
Just think about it. Amen? What's some of the things you can do? Manage your notifications. Do you know you can turn your notifications off?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can manage your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Man, listen, this time, my phone is set on a 30 second, my screen goes blank in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to save power. But this time I want to read an article, but that 30 second thing gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what I do? I go to settings, go to display, set it to go black in 5 minutes. So now I can read the article without having to keep tapping my screen
mm-hmm.
to keep it locked. Hmm? There's times I'm shopping and I got a list in my phone and I go to pick up something, I pick back up my phone, my phone's like this now. So know what I do? I lock it so it doesn't, the screen doesn't move. And when I'm finished, guess what I do? I unlock it. Manage your phone. So guess what you can do, right? You're about to have dinner? Turn off your notifications. This way you don't get that dopamine rush. Right? Put the thing on mute. Put it upstairs. How about that? Right? There's things we can do. Manage the phone. Right? Put it away from you. But think about these things, right? Because again, in this age of technology where we're so connected, God said, I want you to lie down with the Word, get up with the Word. We lie down, our phone's right next to us, we get up first thing we do, we grab it, right? Look at it. See, somebody talk to you overnight. But here's the most important thing. Ask God. We need to ask God to help us to power down and to unplug. And how to do it. Again, the great disconnect is not saying to you that you need to totally get rid of your electronic devices. But manage them better. Amen. And don't let them interfere with your relationships. Don't let it interfere with your personal health. There's some bad health risks associated with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just get better at it. And let's just ask God to help us to disconnect when we need to disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Schedule some time. Lord, show me when during my day I can just get away from my phone and all that kind of device for half an hour. That's it. I'm not answering anything. I'm not listening to anything. Everything's away from me. Whatever the case may be. But God knows what we need to do.
Yeah.
So let's ask Him, right? Because I believe that God is saying unto us, this world is going crazy with this connection to the electronic devices. And we can't go along with it.
Amen.
Amen? And so we're going to be part of the movement. We're starting a movement right now in On Good Ground Christian Fellowship. It's called The Great Disconnect. And if anybody wants to join us, then come on and join us. But it's going to take sacrifice.
Amen.
Because all movements take sacrifice. You're going to have to sacrifice some phone usage. You're going to have to sacrifice some tweets.
You're going to have to sacrifice all the notifications you're waiting on. Amen?
Amen.
You can get back to them. Mm-hmm. But just carve out some time and make sure that you are on top and in control of your devices. And your devices aren't in control of you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I believe that if we do that, our lives and our relationships will be the better for you. Amen?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. That's right. Now let us stand up, amen, and let's pray together. Praise God that we're disconnected, amen. We're connected but disconnected, amen. We're not held hostage by our electronic devices.
Amen.
Praise God. Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
And we bless your name, God. We thank you, Lord, that you're mindful of us. You're mindful of where we live, the times we live in, and the things, God, that are not helpful or healthy for us.
Yeah.
Father, we heard your voice today, God. And Father, we saw ourselves so many times, God, in what you were saying unto us as
yes.
we utilized all of our devices, the things that you have blessed us with, God, but that sometimes are not a blessing. Father, we're praying for your help.
Yeah.
Help us, oh God, to manage the use of our smartphone and our computers and our tablets and all our
yes.
other electronic devices. Help us to manage them with wisdom in the name of Jesus. Help us, God, to disconnect from these devices so that we can better connect to the people in front of us, oh God.
Yes.
And Father God, as we use it to stay connected from those who are afar, Father, we thank you for that. Because Father, you allow us, oh God, to communicate to family and friends, oh God, who we otherwise would fall out of touch with. And so, Father, we're yet grateful for that. And we give you the praise and the glory. But, Father, we don't want to get so, oh God, connected to that we, Father, lose touch with the people who are right around us.
Yes.
So, Father, we are praying for balance in the
yes,
name of
Lord.
Jesus. We're praying to strike the proper balance. And, Father, we have trust and faith in you that you know exactly what we should do, how we should do it,
yes.
when we should
yes.
do it. And so, Father, we just ask you to lead us and guide us as we purpose in our hearts to strike the godly balance with our devices.
Thank you,
and
God.
We believe, God, that you will show us your wisdom and give us the victory in this, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And for that, we thank
yeah.
you. And for that, we praise you. And for that, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.